Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, my guest is an engaging young singer, pianist, and composer, Tony Desserre. He has a straightforward yet infectious delivery with a warm, clear, mellifluous sound and a lot of charm to match. Tony, how are you?
I'm just great, Marion. How are you?
I'm doing fine and all the better for having you in the studio.
Well, thanks.
I loved your records. I don't know which I like better. Are those two the newest ones?
They are. The first release is on Telarc. It's called Want You, as is the second. It's called Last First Kiss. And yeah, I'm really proud of them both. And they both kind of represent, you know, a good snapshot of where I was at both those times.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah, well, when I'm in the process of recording, I really feel the importance of how these have to be good, because as you know, once you make a recording, it's out there and you have to live with it for the rest of your life. It's maybe kind of like having I don't have any children, but if I did, it would be my songs on my CDs, and you know, once they're out, you kind of have to be with them for life. So
that's true. Well, how old were you when you started to discover you were a good singer?
Well, it all kind of happened gradually. My family is very musical. My dad plays guitar and sings, and I was always really interested in music. And when I was 8 years old, the very first instrument you could take in school was stringed instruments. So I got violin lessons.
Did you like that?
I did because it was music. And I learned how to read music that way and played, you know, the squeaky little student violin. And from the time I was 8, it wasn't until I was 11 years old that I first got a piano, and it wasn't even a real piano. It was a little Casio, keyboard that you could buy at Radio Shack. And I just was always fascinated with piano players and pianos, and just begged my parents to just get me anything that I could learn how to play piano on. So I started with that and just was always on it, just always playing with it. And then they got me a bigger keyboard and piano lessons, and that's when it really started. I took classical piano, and my first big goal, though, of my first year was to learn Scott Joplin's The Entertainer.
Really?
And that's really what kicked it off. I didn't start singing until I was 15.
I was wondering about that. And then you suddenly discovered you could sing.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I don't know if it was suddenly discovered or just had to wait for my voice to change.
Yeah, I think you'd be in the choir.
Yeah.
Gosh. You were in that musical about Frank Sinatra, weren't you?
Yes, a few years ago there was an off-Broadway show, which was a big hit, ran for a number of years, called Our Sinatra.
Yes, right.
And it was a tribute, not to Frank Sinatra and his life as much as it was to Frank Sinatra's musical taste. So it was three singers on stage. I was the piano player singer. And the great thing about it was that I wasn't doing a Frank Sinatra impersonation. It was about the singers on stage doing their own interpretation to these songs that Frank Sinatra had a high value musically in. So it was a lot of fun, and it was really good training for me, because doing that 8-show-a-week Broadway schedule really taught me how to do a show no matter how I felt, whether I was tired, whether I was sick, you know, just in any mood, you know, having to do that schedule week after week will really teach you how to do that.
Boy, do I know all about that. Yes. Well, that show was a big success.
It was a big success, and I believe it's not over yet. I think it's, I mean, there's still shows cropping up over the country, and I think it may be back in New York soon as well.
Meanwhile, you're on to other things, one of which I would just love to hear you sing and play.
Sure. Well, actually, speaking of Our Sinatra, this song was my first solo number in the show.
Yeah.
Joe Bushkin's great hit, Oh, Look at Me Now.
That's such a good song.
Isn't it? Isn't it a good song?
Yeah. Well, I'm dying to hear you sing it.
Okay, I'm dying to play it
play
for
it.
you.
Okay.
Okay.
The guy who cared about love, and I'm not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. Never cared much. Oh, look at me now. I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much. Oh, look at me now. I'm a new man, better than Casanova at his best. With a new heart, a brand new start, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest. So I'm the guy who turned out a lover. So I'm the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things, oh, look at me now. Diamond rings, one of those things. Oh, look at me now. Baby, look at me now.
That's terrific.
Thanks.
I remember hearing Joe sing that very song at the Carlisle, and you recently, was it recently you played there?
Well, the Cafe Carlisle was kind of my first kind of big New York debut. I was there a couple of years ago during Bobby Short's last season. He had Monday nights off, and they put me in there to do the month of December, kind of a Christmas show thing. So that's what I did, and it was just a few months before Bobby died, and he came in and he saw me, and it was great because just for someone like me who moved to New York, you know, wanting to make it as a piano player singer, to have that moment come where I'm at the Cafe Carlisle performing for Bobby Short, and then have him come up and say that he enjoyed me. I mean, that was, it's one of those career milestones,
I would imagine. And did that get you another date there?
Well, what it did is, even though I had played in New York for the last few years, it was my first, you know, of kind of official appearance that was reviewed, and it kind of put me on the map a bit. And since then, I've played at Feinstein's at the Regency, And I also recently had a 2-week run at the Oak Room at the Algonquin.
And, nice.
Yeah, which is an amazing place to play as well.
Yeah, that's like one of the rooms. It's
yeah.
It's been going on forever.
So much history to it. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a little daunting at first to go into a room like that because of the gravity and the shadow cast by who has been there before.
No, I would imagine. Well, I would just love to hear you do more.
Okay. This is a song that I wrote, actually.
Oh, that's good. Love to hear one of your songs.
And basically, you know, whenever someone sets out to write a love song, I think these days, it's with each love song that's written, it's increasingly tougher because so many love songs have been written.
And the words are all taken up.
Right. You feel like the words are already all used. I mean, how can you say I love you just in one slightly different way or in just one other twist of a way? So this is kind of my version of a love song. It's called How I Will Say I Love You.
That's completely new, so...
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, that's a lovely song.
Thank you.
It really sounds like there was somebody that you were singing that song to.
Yes, and there was, yeah.
I think that makes it all the better. And you do the lyric, too.
I do, yeah.
A busy guy.
Yeah.
Well, we've got more coming up with Tony Desserre. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, could I play something for you?
I would love for you. It would be a dream come true for me.
Gee, I hope. What'll we do?
Well, you know, I was thinking there's this great UB Blake song that I love a lot that as I was on the way over here I thought would be great, called Memories of You.
Well, that's one of the great songs, and I got to play it with UB himself when he was about 90-something.
Mm-hmm.
So I should know it. How are you going to do this?
Well, you just, why don't you play it and I'll sing it and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Key of C?
Key of C. A little intro, maybe?
Sure. At sunrise, every sunset too, seems to be bringing me memories of you. That we once knew and they all just recall memories of you. How I wish I could forget those happy yesteryears that have left a rosary of tears. Your face beams in my dreams. In spite of all I do, everything seems to bring memories of you. Thank you.
wish I could forget those happy yesteryears that have left a rosary of tears. Your face beams in my dreams, spite of all I do. Everything seems to bring memories of you.
It's always fun to me to play for somebody that you really don't know what they're going to do.
Right.
There's an air of sort of daring about it.
Yeah. It's the same way for me, too, sure. I know exactly what you mean.
Well, I guess we both had faith and it worked out.
Uh-huh. That's the beauty of this style of music, too, is that... you're able to do that, put two people together that have never played together and have it possibly be magical.
Yeah. Well, I read somewhere where you recorded a Prince tune.
That's right. I did Prince's 1986 hit Kiss.
Do you know him?
I don't know him, no. And I got the idea. I was just out somewhere and they played his version of it, and I was at the time kind of trying to think of songs that I could record and realized that it had kind of enough there, both in a melody and lyric, to maybe survive the transition into another genre. So I went home and started playing with it, and I had to add a lot more chords to the chorus to make it work. But and people thought I was crazy at first for trying it, but it ended up being kind of the centerpiece for the CD.
I don't know, you can really, if you have the stuff to work with, you can take any chords or of any part of the tune and do your own thing with it, which you evidently did.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key to a really good song, isn't it, to have enough there. And why the standards work so well, I think, you know, when I think about what is it about all these songs in the Great American Songbook that make them able to be a Latin or a swing or a rubato ballad, or, you know, you could put them in, or as a classical piece or as an elevator music piece.
And to be on forever.
And to work forever and in any context is an amazing thing and a real test of a good song.
Well, how do you pick your songs for a record date?
Well, it's a several-step process. One, I have to know about the song, you know, first of all, and then I have to decide if it fits into what I'm doing at that point, and then also if it's a good song for me. And then finally, does it need to be recorded again? Am I going to add anything new to it? I mean, as much as I love certain songs, there's some that have been done so many times and so well, unless I feel like I can really add something to it, I feel there's no reason to do it.
That's pretty interesting that you give it so much thought, and that certainly makes for a good bunch of tunes on a record, that you don't just take the tune and not even think about how much it might have been recorded before.
Yeah, well, I really, you know, live show is a different thing. Live show, I'll do different things in a, you know, for a live performance, because the function it serves is a little bit different, to entertain people in the moment. But for a statement that's something that's recorded, I really take it, you know, the actual song choice very seriously, because I want it to actually say something about me, and I want it to fit in the recording and actually have the recording kind of tell a story.
Well, that one tune that I hope you're going to do that I loved is Baby, Dream Your Dream. Is that mm-hmm. the right title?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll play that
Cy,
for you.
I love that tune.
Yeah, Cy Coleman and Dorothy Fields. It's actually from the Broadway musical Sweet Charity.
Cy had such an original way of putting tunes together.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
And this particular one, dying to hear you do it.
All right.
Okay.
Baby, dream your dream. Close your eyes and try it. Dream of furniture. Dream that I can buy it. That fancy dress you prayed for, not only bought but paid for. Dream we signed the lease. Leave a small deposit. 3 1/2 rooms with a walk-in closet. We'll ask the local jet set to dine on our dinette set right across the street. There's a friendly bank. We make a friendly loan, and the bank says thank you every Saturday. We'll spend all our money, join the PTA. They will love you, honey. Life will be frozen peaches and cream. Baby, dream your dream.
Lovely. And I love all the little pianistic touches here and there.
Thanks. Well, the reason I did that song was because I was invited to play for a press party for Cy Coleman's last appearance, would prove to be his last appearance at Feinstein's. So this was right when I was kind of first kind of getting introduced to the New York scene, and I wanted to pick something that was kind of an interesting choice rather than, you know, what they would expect a young person to do. So that intro that I did, the boo,
yeah, love that.
I wanted it to be a play on the best is yet to come intro.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of what that intro is about. It's a little tribute to, you know, Cy's.
I'm sure he didn't miss it either.
I don't know. He didn't say, but I hope he caught it.
It's a nice song to play on. Well, there's more music coming up with my guest, Tony Desserre. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, I was noticing when you were playing, the left hand, you almost went into stride a little bit then. Do you do that? I'm sure you do.
You know, I do. One of the reasons that I wanted to play piano in the first place was because of stride piano. And I can't help but any time when I play solo to end up putting that in there. It's really something that I love to do and is a big part of the background of how I learned to play. And there's just something always about that left hand movement that fascinated me and became one of my strengths.
Well, I'm sure you've got a tune all picked out for the stride segment you're going to do.
Yeah, you know what I've recently loved to do is Bart Howard's Flying to the Moon.
Oh, wow. That has a stride piece. I've got to hear that.
All right. Well, let me play it for you.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
The audience should be on their feet for that one.
Yeah, usually.
I bet they are.
It's a good part
of
the show. Yeah.
Yeah, but playing stride piano at that tempo, I mean, you must have to practice quite a bit to maintain that thing, that tempo.
Yeah, you know, more than that, it's more of a question of just my complete, like, mental, and it's a really good indicator of just how good I'm feeling is how well I can play that stride.
Because, really?
Because sometimes I can just hit every single note, and then other times it's more of a challenge. But I think, and my left hand has always been, you know, pretty fluid, so it's...
Boy, it's fluid, all right. Fluid. You can drink it.
Thanks, Marian.
Well, after that insane flurry of notes, maybe we should calm down and do a nice ballady kind of tune. And you'd sing it and I'd play it. What do you think?
That sounds great. How about If I Had You?
That sounds good.
Let's do it.
Key of
G.
Key of G. Okay.
I could show the world how to smile. I could be glad all the while. I could change the gray sky to blue if I had you. I could leave the old days behind, leave all my pals, I'd never mind. I could start my life anew if I had you. I could climb a snow-capped mountain and sail the mighty ocean wide. I could cross the burning desert if I had you by my side. I could be a king uncrowned, humble or poor, rich or renowned. There is nothing I wouldn't do if I had you. Thank you. I could climb a snow-capped mountain, sail the mighty ocean wide. I could cross the burning desert if I had you by my side. I could be a king uncrowned, humble the poor, rich or renowned. There is nothing I wouldn't do if I had you. There is nothing I wouldn't do.
Boy, with such feeling.
Well, there's so much to pull from in the song, isn't there? It's just such a, you know, it's a love song, but it's also a unrequited. I love those kind of bittersweet feeling, because I mean, really a very kind of cheerful melody to it until the bridge. Anyway,
until the bridge, it's a little rueful there for a moment. Beautiful ending.
Yeah, it is. It's always been one of my favorite songs.
You sang it as if it were.
Thank you.
Well, there's more music coming up with Tony Desser. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Visit us on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. I'd love to hear you sing another song.
Sure, well, I'd love to play one. How about a little Gershwin?
We haven't done any Gershwin. There's a house.
Yeah.
It's time we did.
How about They Can't Take That Away From Me?
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah.
Wasn't that from a movie?
Yeah, I think it's from a Fred Astaire film.
But you'll sing it better than he did.
But I won't be able to dance to it, but I'm glad this is radio. All right, here it is.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. Oh no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. They can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still, I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we danced till three, the way you've changed my life. Oh no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. again on the bumpy, bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we danced till three, the way you've changed my life. Oh no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away. They can't take that away, 'cause they won't take that away from me.
It's such a jaunty tune and lends itself to your way of singing.
Yeah, well, and that's another one that, you know, because I love the way Tony Bennett does that as well, and he does that in a kind of completely different way.
Oh, yeah?
And in fact, I just saw him not quite a year ago, and he did that in Pittsburgh. And it's just beautiful the way he did it. He takes it much slower and much, you know, allows him to really concentrate on the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
A little more, and just did just a beautiful job. I mean, if you can make that song break your heart, he can do it.
He makes any song that he sings his own song.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about this music that makes it so special, too. You really have that opportunity with these songs that have been done by so many people to make it your own in your own way, you know, and it's really exciting, too.
Well, that's happening with you.
Thank you.
Ah, well, it is unfortunately the last tune, but I do thank you for being here and for making it so enjoyable and getting to hear you sing. It's wonderful.
Well, it's certainly been my pleasure, Mary.
Just wonderful. So we'd better think what we're going to do.
Well, I think being that we're both piano players, maybe closing with the Duke Ellington composition might be in order.
Duke would like it.
I think he would. How about Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me?
Oh, that's a good one. They're all good. But...
And we'll, let's both play on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how it goes.
All right.
Okay.
Do nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said, while people tear the seams of anyone's dream is over my head. Do nothing till you hear from me. At least consider our romance, if you should take the word of others you've heard, haven't a chance. True, I've been seen with someone new. That don't mean I've been untrue. While we're apart, the words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory, and other arms may hold a thrill. Please do nothing till you hear it from me. And baby, you never will. Thank you. been seen with someone new. That don't mean I've been untrue. I'm more part. The words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory, and other arms may hold a thrill. But please do nothing till you hear it from me. Please do nothing till you hear it from me. Please do nothing till you hear it from me. Baby, you never will.
You got the last word on that one.
I guess I did, yeah.
Well, thanks for a lovely day.
Thank you.
Been great.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest, Tony Desserre. Join us again next week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you another great artist from the world of jazz for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Sam Gianelli, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Information about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz is available on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, Pazzioli Pianos, and from Jazz Times Magazine, delivering jazz news, insight, and opinion since 1970, at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR contributors, which include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.